so many people are like respecters of persons. And I tried never to do that, but it never ceases to amaze me. Like my wife said, when I was looking for another editor and I reached out and nobody got back to me, not one person. And she goes, Chris, will you do me a favor? Will you just add Wall Street Journal bestselling author on your signature line? And I go, it sounds like I'm bragging. I don't want to be, you know? And I did, and everybody got back to me.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast Dom Brightman, and you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's review highlight is a 5-star review from Sub Beautiful Day. SA Beautiful Day. It's a beautiful day, baby. That's right indeed, and this review is titled Easy Inspirational Listening Plus Discover New Books. And they wrote, such a great podcast for discovering new books. I love that each guest has a book they talk about. Episodes are easy to listen to in one sitting and always inspiring. Plus, Dom has a soothing voice that's also easy to listen to. Totally recommend. Well, thanks a bunch for leaving that great review. It was a beautiful day. Appreciate you for listening, and if you too like what you hear on today's show or any other episode you listen to, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or the GoingNorthPodcast.com website, and we'll be sure to highlight it on a future episode. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the highlight reel, builder for authors known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for it today, my friends. That's right indeed. We got an indie author legend, y'all. That's right indeed. My man broke through the glass ceiling, stuck the glass out of his back and his arms and his head, and was like, yeah, I'm the freaking champion indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, y'all, is an award-winning Wall Street Journal best-selling mystery thriller author, y'all. That's right indeed. You know him, you love him. He's a father, he's a husband, a speaker, actor, and prolific storyteller. So let's give it up for the champ himself, the fabulous, the one and only Christopher Grayson. How you doing today, Chris?
I am fantastic, and I'm actually going to copy that intro and play it before I come into rooms. The applause button and everything. That was great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dean. Honored to have you here, man. I'm like, I saw your name in the wonderful 120 pitch haystack. I'm like, hey, wait a second. Let me see what this guy's doing. Oh, wait a second, huh? Wait a second. I've seen this book before. Wait a second. Oh, that's a yes. Let me email him today.
Yeah, I am unbelievably blessed. I can't believe how things are going in my life and continue to go. And I keep working. It's funny. Everybody says the minute I put one book out, even the day it's out, I'm on the next one. And I'm already working on the next one and keeping it there. Because what do they say? Today, peacock, tomorrow, a feather duster. So I want to avoid the feather duster. And I want to keep moving, keep pushing forward, and getting the best product I can out there for the readers.
Today a peacock, tomorrow feather duster. Man, that's scary.
But it's true. And it's true. Like we were talking about technology, a lot of things change. The publishing industry can change so fast. Like I can't believe I've been in it for 10 years now. And when I first wrote a book, just for a little back history, I wrote one in the Stone Age, back when, you know, we were doing it on the stone tablets with the birds, like in the Flintstone. No, but it was back in the brick and mortar days. I had been an actor and I blew my knee out, and I wanted to still do creative things. And I've always been a reader, just loved reading, loved stories, loved mysteries. And, but a huge fan of Tolkien. So I wrote a fantasy book called Pure of Heart. Then you had to print it out, you know, a stack of paper this big, mail it off, wait 6 months, And the publishing house came back to me. And I did it all on my own. You know, I just read a couple of books on it. And they came back and said, we really like it, but it's not right for our publishing house, because I didn't do too much research in the publishing house. They said, can I send it off to a friend of mine, another publishing house? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And so I said, sure, because that means it doesn't totally stink if they're going to send it off to a friend. And I didn't know this until after I wrote that book, The Girl Who Lived. In the meantime, I actually got sidelined by addiction and the naysayers, because when I had my knee operated on, they gave me some morphine, and I really, really like morphine. And then after the painkiller, then after that painkillers, and then after that self-medication. Then after that, five rehabs and life came on, and everybody said, you'll never be a writer, ever. Don't even do that dream. And I listened. But now technology has changed so much that the gatekeepers are no more. There's nothing stopping people from writing a book except themselves. So I say, have at it. I think everybody's got a book in them. I know so many people that love to write. So I like to encourage people to write like you. You are an encourager, and you try to get people to push forward. And I like that very much.
Woohoo! Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Appreciate that, my man. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And glad you're able to break that evil thick fog known as the naysayers and the darn painkillers, because like it's crazy how that works out. Like, addiction can be to just about almost anything, especially painkillers, no less, especially when you blow out your knee like that. I'm pretty sure that was really painful, to say the least.
Yeah, it was so hard, because I had geared myself toward, like, I actually, my start with addiction was when I was only 16, and I fell in love, you know, I took to it, and I told my kids this. So my kids actually came to me, and they're like, Dad, what did you think about drinking? And I go, oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Drugs, I was like, where have you been? Because I don't want them to know, to think. The first time you get drunk, it's funny as anything. The first time I got lit, it was fun. And then I said, but then when you wake up and you're like, am I bleeding or did I kill my roommate? What's going on? It's not so fun. And then you start chasing it, and how it can just derail you and suck you into the void. And so I had quit all that, and I got into theater, and I had that dream, and I wanted to be an actor. And so many people were, you know, trying to naysay it, go, never happened, never happened, never happened. And they kept saying it. And I finally, I believed them. And if I had won, you know, one of my biggest regrets in life is that, is I listened and I put my writing career, and I went, I'll never write. So I didn't. And it's the dumbest thing. And then so much I learned from those kids. Like, my daughter would walk me out every day to work, and I had the lousiest job, and she would say, Dad, you're going to be a writer someday. Believe it. Like Naruto. I don't know if you know Naruto from the animes. And she'd pray with me. And I worked at it like, you know, I was trying to, you know, dig my way out of prison. And I'd wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'd write, and kept at it. And my first book, though, I got done for under $100. So you can either break out the money hose, and I had no money hose, so you can break out the money hose or get creative. And there are so many people out there that are willing to help you, like J.A. Conrath. He's the writer, one of the first indie guys that went to Amazon. He had been traditionally published. He took a lot of heat, you know, from the, you know, going on to indie, because they were, you know, kind of looked down on. Now I consider him a friend. He just absolutely crushed it, and he'd help you. He wrote a blog where he put out numbers. He put out what he did. He was there. And it was so funny. I ran into him at a writing convention, and he had actually reached out. I had reached out to him early, and he had answered very politely. And then one of my emails went to spam, and I'm like, ah. And I'm like, oh, and he get back to me. And then he reached out to me, and I had somebody help me at the time, and they didn't respond back to him either. And so I met him, and he thought I blew him off, and it worked out great. But there are so many people out there that are willing to come alongside you and help. There's a lot of sharks too. I mean, you do have to be very wary because people will not only try to steal your money, they'll try to steal your book. And you need to be careful of that. And I still see it. It's still out there because I use a lot of beta readers and I love feedback. I'm not afraid of feedback. I got thick skin. So when I write a new book, a lot of times I'll get beta readers with my secret identity name. So they don't know that I'm, Christopher Grayson. And you can see sometimes it brings the sharks out. Like I wrote and I had somebody say, "Oh, this just needs a little bit of polishing. I will co-author this with you and come along and just sign this con." And I'm like, no. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a poor author ask me advice, and somebody was going to charge him. Well, they did. They paid it money for an ISBN that Amazon gives for free. And it's just so cheap. They're putting the book on Amazon for this guy because he's not really a tech guy. And they said, "Oh, well, the charge for the Amazon ISBN," and there is no charge. So he's just ripping them off. And that's just sad. But there are some places you just need to do that trust and verify. Ask to say, "Hey, can I speak to people? Can I get, a referral from some of your customers?" But it's amazing now how, with the gatekeepers gone, you can really put out quality, absolutely professional books that get there. And that's what I've always just tried to do. And with the help of my wife, who got a she's a good whip cracker, which made that a little bit better, made that a plus. But it really, I give her all the credit in the world because it really helps. Like I actually have this trick where I'll take a cover for a book and I kept bringing it like into the bookstores to see the book. Like I compare it. Okay, what does a book have? When you open it up, it's got that little copyright page with the thing. It's got the little logo down in the corner because you want to make it as professional as possible. And so I knew I arrived with a Girl Who Lived book because I put it on the shelf in the bookstore and people were going up and picking it up. I'm like, yes. And then because I had printed it out. And then when I went to leave, the clerk said, "Oh, you have to pay for that book." And I said, "It's my book." And they're like, "After you buy it, it's your book." And I'm like, no. It's really my book." So it's been such a neat journey. And I really, it's, I'm blown away by how it goes and how the ride is continuing to grow. Like nothing has come of it as of yet. I'm kind of like, I wear my hat on my sleeve and I'm a little transparent. But like right now, I'm writing a bunch of different scripts and television screenplays because people wanted to option them. And it's so funny how things do work out as it progresses. Like one of the first times I did I got offered to be optioned a bunch of times for movies, but you have to be very careful because sometimes people just want to go, "I have the title, I'm going to give you a grand." And then stick this on the shelf, and they can stick it there for 10 years. So you really need to read the fine print. So I had a number of people reach out to me, and I don't put graphic sex, graphic violence, and swears in my book. That's my own personal thing, but I won't compromise my principles. So I say no. And so sometimes people go, "Oh, well, we want you to include like a lot of swears," and I'm like, "Well, I don't want to include a lot of swears. It's not my audience. I'm not doing it." But I had somebody reach out from Netflix and for one of the screenplays. And it was such a great process writing the screenplay. I couldn't believe how much I grew as a writer writing it. So no matter what, I benefited from it, even if it doesn't go to a movie. But then the funny thing was, they were going to sit down with a guy from Netflix and they said, "Has it ever been on TV?" And I'm like, "What books are on TV?" Like, well, they're like the news. I'm like, "What, like Harry Potter, or if somebody's burning it or, protesting it?" Like, it doesn't, I go, "It won 6 awards, And they're like, "Yeah, but has it been in the news?" And so my nephew is in, I think, like Argentina. He's with the Peace Corps and he's this handsome Italian young man. And he's in the airport, and he's single, and he sees this girl, and she's reading a book, and he goes over and he goes, "Hi, what are you reading?" And she's like, "The Girl Who Lived by Christopher Grayson." And he's like, "No way, that's my uncle." And she's like, "Oh, come on." And he goes, "No, seriously." And she's like, he's like, "Why did you pick his book?" And she goes, "I saw it last night on the Late Show with Seth Meyers." And so
Oh.
he doesn't know about it. So right after this guy asks me, and he said, "I'm on the way to the Netflix meeting." So I pray about it. And then 20 minutes later, I think, he sends me a picture of Seth Meyers holding up my book. And I'm like, "Are you punk?" And then I go, "How can you be punking me if I haven't told anybody?" So then I'm like, and then I call him, and it was a long thing because he's in Argentina. And he's like, "Yeah, it was on this." So I found the clip on YouTube and then send it to the guy right when he's sitting down with the Netflix people. And they go, "How is that possible?" And I'm like, "God, that's the only way it could be possible." And so it was just, it's such a nice, story. Now, nothing ended up happening because COVID hit and everything shut down. And I wrote up another one, and then the writer's strike hit and the director's strike hit. And I'm like, okay, but now I have a few different pieces and I'm seeing how they go. And it's, for me, somebody told me this once, and I took it to heart, because you don't want to wish your life away, and you don't want to just look, "I want to get to the end of the journey." Enjoy the journey, enjoy the process, and you're never going to write it, your first book again. Once you write it, it's gone. So enjoy it. See what happens. Enjoy making the mistakes. I mean, we live in such a weird society where people don't want to fail anymore. And I came in and I said to my wife once, she's like, "How'd it go?" I go, "I failed spectacularly." She's like, "Really?" I go, "Oh, epically. It blew up. It didn't like blow up in like a little way. It was like," and I see it, and I see it sometimes, and sometimes it's with books. Like, you might write a chapter and go, "Oh, that's horrible." And you think it's going to be something brilliant, but sometimes you can like reuse stuff. Like, I've made book covers and I said, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work, either for the book or like when you shrink it to a thumbnail, but then it works for like some other piece of marketing. So people get way too hung up on the failures, the not wanting to try, instead of enjoying the process, put one foot in front of the other. And really, that there's nothing holding somebody back from writing a book besides them.
Yeah, so true indeed, so true indeed. So many gems dropped indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Should add a jewelry store manager to the introduction, because a man's dropping those jewels, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Power, faith, and prayer. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. My goodness, and that's actually like huge and probably really interesting, because in a way, with all these extra screenplays you got under your belt, you probably got a lot more options out there waiting in the wings for you. So, my goodness, what's your writing process like these days?
I usually have multiple books going. I've got a few finished that I'm waiting on. I'm actually entertaining a traditionally published series, and I'm always open to, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to anybody, and you hear what they have to say. But I usually have a lot of books going at once, and you can write anywhere with anything. I mean, now I use Scrivener. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's on a Mac. It's a piece of writing software that's fabulous, because I can do it cloud-based and I can write on my phone, my tablet, my computer. So I have written, like, I remember I went up north to visit my family, and two of my brothers, one of them was putting in a washing machine. So he's like, "Oh, you came all the way here. I don't want you to just hang out." The three of us, I couldn't help them. The three of us can't fit in the room to put the washer in. So I said, and I'm the youngest, so I'm a good flashlight holder. I'm like, that was always my role. So I said, no worries. I'm going to sit down. And I wrote a chapter of a book while they're putting it in the washing machine, because you can write anywhere. And that way I don't ever suffer from like writer's block, Because if I'm writing on one book, like say I'm working on this post-apocalyptic series called The Dark, that's my main focus right now. But then I have a bunch of different ideas and series going at the same time. So if all of a sudden I hit something that I need to research or some motive that's bugging me, because I like to watch my books in my head before I write. I can hold off and then I can go and I can work on that other book. And what I do, how I start my books, is I usually take index cards. I have some, and I've got whiteboards everywhere. If you don't have a whiteboard, post-it notes work great. And I take three post-it notes and I put beginning, middle, and end. And I put them up. I don't even put what the beginning, middle, and end are. I don't know what they are yet. But if you put something down, it helps so much because then you go, okay, I know the story is going to have a beginning and a middle and an end. And it's something down. There's something that happens in your brain. It's kind of like having somebody sign something. Like I've asked friends, will you do this? And they say, sure. I guarantee I'll do it. I go, great. Give me a signature. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. And it's not like a contract, but I go, give me a signature, sign it. And something, because there's something that happens. I don't know exactly what. I'm not a psychologist or, but there is really something that happens. And there's something that happens in your brain when you put down those three note cards, the beginning and middle of the end. And then another plug for another person's book. I've never met him. James Scott Bell. He's got a writing series, and he always talks about the magic middle. And it's true. If you look at any book, movie, really, the middle part of the story is when the character faces like a crisis in themselves. Like, are they going to continue? So sometimes I go from what's going to happen in that, middle. Sometimes I go from the beginning, but I'm a firm believer in plotting. I know some people just go, oh, I fly by the seat of my pants. And I guess it's a little bit of a joint thing, but the more I have for the plot, the better it is that I like it. And so I'll do a rough draft. I'll come up with a plot. I'll do the rough draft. And I usually do, instead of three act structure, it's a four act structure. People always like do the structure, but the four act structure is just you're split in the middle into two acts. There's the secret. There's no like big mystery. But I'll blow out the first draft. And sometimes I can write, I am on fire. I'll write a book a month, and I'll get that, the first draft out there and then really start honing it and getting it to beta readers. I'm a big believer in beta readers and hearing feedback because you would, and don't surround yourself with yes people. Because I would so much rather have somebody go, this part's not grabbing me, it's slow, than to put the book out and have everybody on Amazon go, this part didn't grab me, it's slow, and get a bunch of low reviews. So catching it early, I'm like, thank you. Give me the feedback. Because sometimes beta readers are like, I want to still be a beta reader. Don't get rid of me because I didn't like it. And I'm like, no. And and sometimes you have to go on your thing where you weigh it. Like usually it's I need a couple of people saying that there's an issue with something. I'll look at it with one person, but if more than one person's saying it, then I'm definitely looking at, okay, I gotta address this. There's a problem. And then it's off to the races, as far as after that, I do a lot of grammar check. I do a lot of polishing because the number one thing is be appreciative of your readers. I mean, if that's the thing I can give for advice, and I hope my readers think I am, because I answer every email personally, and because it blows my mind. I mean, if you look at it from Angry Birds to Netflix to, there are so many things that are trying to vie for our attention, and then I have people reading my books, and so I am not only, super grateful, for that. So I want to give them the best I can, and they are like the people that write to me just cheer me up to no end. And some of them crush you, some of the letters you get, because I write, I do a, I think sometimes, oh, my books aren't that dark, and I think of like my Jack book where, Jack was raised by a black foster family, and his brother was killed, and his mother was a prostitute, and and I'm like, they're kind of happy, and I'm like, they deal with, really tough stuff, and even like my cozy mysteries and my cozy mystery series, Finn and Annie. Finn was going to be a soldier, but he lost his leg, and Annie is a deaf single mother of two. And it's about two people that are broken coming together and how they really fix and help each other in kind of like overcoming the, the darkness of this world, and I like giving that escapism because the world's kind of, I want to escape. Sometimes I'm
Yeah.
like, stop spinning. Let me off. It's a little bit nuts out there right now. And, but it, part of it, mine is, shut off that stuff and then go read a good book. Like I just found out, like I got thrown into a tizzy because I'm usually pretty good about not falling for it, but the bee thing, did you hear about like all the bees disappearing? I'll get on a conspiracy theory for a second, but it was in Time magazine, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like the butterfly effect because bees are like indispensable. And everybody was like, they're dying. It's not. They're fine. I just sort of think they're fine. The bees are fine. Everybody calm down. So I try to get away, away for that. Give some people some good scares. Some of them get like a little bit violent with my Hiku series, who's a Yakuza assassin, which I absolutely love writing. Some of those are those great cozy mysteries. I got a romance in the queue. I do have one that I'm, it's a Western that I'm going to go to.
Oh,
And so that I'm
wow.
really excited. It's going to kind of be like a Princess Bride and Pirates of the Caribbean type of flavor for it. So I'm really excited about that. And I guess the other thing with asking about what I was coming up with, that finishing that dark, and I'm writing The Girl Who Lived Two, so
Ooh.
which is the sequel everybody was asking to my biggest hit, and I fall in love with the characters, I really do, but sometimes I'm like, I don't want to try to like milk something, like I won't put anybody, I don't want to bash anybody, but there are sometimes like where books get split into like three movies, and I'm like, you're kind of milking it and it's straining it. And again, the respect for the fans, respect for the readers. If the story's not there, I don't want to just go, hey, and have it be a sales thing. That's not why I do it. It's partly because of the story, and the story hit me, and I was like, oh, I like this. And if I'm excited and I'm like watching it, then I gotta put it on. So I haven't formally announced that, so I don't know when the show's going to go. That might actually up my announcement of The Girl Who Lived Two.
Hey, we could talk about it after the show, man. It's all good D. It's all good D. Happy to s spread it out to match the announcement for the Google juice for you.
Well, I
That's
appreciate
exciting.
that because the marketing is the. Is kind of like for the independent publishing, that's the, the ever changing thing, and it really has changed a lot where before traditional publishers would look down on the independent, publishers, and they'd be like all aloof and they're having champagne problems, and they're like, there's too many bubbles in my champagne. I'm like, oh yeah, cry me a river. And, but now they're advertising on the same platforms we are. So it makes it even more difficult because they've got a huge war chest that they can get to. So, but it's just, again, a lot of the guerrilla techniques, the works, the back to basics, the, I always say authors need to concentrate on, building a website, presence and collecting emails. Because if you don't collect the emails, the email list is gold. You collect emails and then you can reach out to the fans and you can let them know. Or I'm a big proponent of, like, if you go to my site, ChristopherGrayson.com, and you go to my site, you go, I am a big proponent of reader magnets. So I've got two free stories that you can, you know, download. And it's kind of like the car. Drive it, you know, driving around the block, kick the tires. Do you like it? You know, there's one story about Jack, and you get to see how I do the whole mystery of the Jack Stratton series. It's called First Patrol. And another one, Fear the Onro, which is with Kiku, who is the Yakuza assassin. So you can go and you can download that, and you can see how you like that style. And if you like it, then great, buy the book.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. Buy a copy each of all the collection, y'all. That's right indeed. That's freaking huge. And marketing, you're one heck of a marketer, dude. Like The Girl Who Lived, man. Like that has almost 42,000 reviews. I think it's like 13 away at the top of this recording, man. So you're doing something right, my man. You're in a rare breed. And you got,
yeah. You know, but I don't want to, you know, I mean, I sing God's praises from the rooftops. I really do, because there's so much with that book. Like even the cover, like I had the cover design and it was by one company. And then when I reached out, there was a language barrier, and I always tweak covers. So I kept on trying to reach out and connect with them and being able to talk to them, but they could only communicate by email. And then they wanted to keep it, you know, the changes short, which I can understand. So I reached out. I wanted to find another cover designer, and I actually found the man who is in like the Ukraine. And I'm like, no way, that made my original cover for it. So it's following the basics of going, I want a good cover. I need a good title. I need a good story. And you put all of those things together. And again, I don't know what that lightning is when, you know, you say it, but it hit number one on Amazon and I almost died. You know, it was just absolutely crazy. And it was the first time I ever put it out to any book, to any book award things. And it won like 6 awards. And so, I'm not saying that, like, you know, because so many people are like respecters of persons. And I tried never to do that, but it never ceases to amaze me. Like my wife said, when I was looking for another editor and I reached out and nobody got back to me, not one person. And she goes, Chris, will you do me a favor? Will you just add Wall Street Journal bestselling author on your signature line? And I go, it sounds like I'm bragging. I don't want to be, you know. And I did. And everybody got back to me. And I'm, you know, and it just, it is just so not me. Like I went to a writing convention and I sat down at this table and nobody asked me who I was. And it was funny because in order to, like, I love trying to encourage and give back. So I took the ad space on the back of the magazine. The handout was the Girl Who Lived cover by me. So everybody's holding this thing. So I'm looking at my book and I sit down at this table of writers and this person said, are you published? And everybody turns to me. Are you professionally published? And I traditionally published. And I said, no, I'm independent. And they go, And they start talking amongst themselves and totally ignore me. So I'm like, okay. So then I'm sitting there for a little bit and then somebody wants to throw me a bone and they said, well, you have an agent, right? And I don't have one by choice. And I said, no. And the keynote speaker gets up and the keynote speaker goes, there's somebody I want to, you know, introduce you all to. It's a friend of mine. It's Christopher Grayson in the back. None of them asked my name. And I did. It was so hard not to go, how do you like me now? You know, but people do that. And it's just, like I said, it's absolutely silly because when it boils down to it, you know, I'm a storyteller. You know, I'm not doing anything, you know, big. It's like they had, and I forget which actor it was. I wish I remember. And he said, I don't know why anybody would put me on a pedestal. They run around pretending, going pew, 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 like a little kid, you know? And people are making it like it's a, you know, a big deal. And like, I was with my son in the bookstore, and I bought, you know, How to Write Mysteries for Dummies. And this guy comes over, and he starts talking down his nose at me. So you want to be a writer, huh? And I'm like, Yeah, I'm looking and I'm interested. And he's like, oh, and he just spends 5 minutes just totally telling me how impossible it is, how hard it is, everything. And I'm listening, but he was telling it from his story, not asking my opinion, from his side. And I listened patiently and he walked away. My son goes, you're not going to tell him who you are? I go, no. Why? It's for somebody like that who has their mind all made up, who's looking down at somebody, they're already all set. They're not going to hear anything. They're not going to, take any advice. And that's why, but there are other people, like a whole community out there that is so wonderful, of writers that are free to share. Like I belong to a writers group and I have all these different people come in and, we talk, we share ideas. And because sometimes you come up with like even stuff, new stuff for marketing. I'll come up with stuff and they'll go, me. And I'm like, okay, forget that one. Maybe I'll try this new one. Like this coming on podcasts is a brand new thing for me. I just put my hat, out there and said, oh, maybe somebody wants to hear me babble on about my story. And if I can help somebody, I'll help somebody and look at doing it, and a lot of people recommend it, for authors, and it's been unbelievably enjoyable meeting people, and this has been great, talking to you. I haven't laughed so hard in a while, so I appreciate that. I need the laughter.
I can say that again. That's definitely everybody indeed. So my goodness, it sounds like you're a fellow man of faith, my man. So I guess you're a fellow Christian, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I am. And it was funny, even before my addiction, my battle with addiction, because my mom was a single mom. She had six kids. My grandfather's a World War I vet, and she took care of them. And I almost died when I was born. And she had it so hard. And I grew up like on Christmas, we would make a cake and sing Happy Birthday, Jesus. And but still, I fell into addiction. And I remember I went through all these therapists and all this, like I said, five drug rehabs. I mean, I was in rehabs with people like they were in there and they were dying. You could tell they're just dying. And I knew I was dying. I was dying inside and I was struggling and crying out to God and I couldn't figure it out. And I went and I prayed with this woman and who I just met. And she said, you know what, Chris? The world has a savior and his name is not Chris. And I quit smoking and drinking on the same day. And it was like, you know what? I have not just turned it all over to God. And I think so much, so hard, people take everything onto themselves. Like it's all up to them. Like, oh, I'm so freaked out. And they don't, and they do that, thing of like not enjoying the ride, and letting go and like humbling yourself. Like, I don't know if I should have admit this on a podcast, but when everything was going like the best for me in my life, my wife and I hit a wicked rough patch and I couldn't figure it out. It was like I would say it's blue, my wife would be like, no, it's red, and it was just divergent. So I go to talk to my pastor and I'm like, we went through like all these hard times, great. And now it's going great. And we're like arguing like constantly. And so my pastor goes, have you ever been RVing? And I said, RVing? I said, no offense, Pastor. That's the stupidest thing anybody ever said to me. I go, I just told you we're not getting along and you want us to go to a submarine together? What?
Ha
And he's like, but you know what? I tell the story and I had to tell him. It's the smartest advice I get ever got. We went out. And since we were both new at it, and like I said, I'm the youngest, four brothers, so I was a good flashlight holder. We had to rely on each other because you're driving an RV, it's an earthquake down the road. And the best advice is some guy said, things are going to break. Just take that in. They're going to break. And I keep that in life now. So whether it be like publishing, whether it be, writing in life, is things are going to break and to go with it and enjoy the experience. Like my book has been ripped off. I can't even tell you how many times. And then good stuff ends up coming from it. But I mean, like sometimes like in like panicking ways, like when the one hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller, the week it was on the Wall Street Journal bestseller, I got kicked out of the Amazon program. because
Oh, wow.
somebody stole the book and they photocopied it. I mean, literally, like, cut through the binder. It was like a bad hack photocopy of it. And so I'm calling up, and they put it up on Apple. So that violated my, you know, if you're in KDP or exclusive, it violated my exclusivity. And Amazon was super nice, and so was in Apple. But they were all like, it was kind of scary because it was like, we can't get the computer to do what we want. You know, I'm like, come on. I have a huge ad campaign. And, but you know what? God used so much of that. Like, I met all of these people that ended up being wonderful resources afterwards, you know, that I ended up, you know, talking to through that, and about not taking it so seriously, you know, going, you know what? God's in control. And as an addict, I have to know that too, is like, I remember one guy said, I can steer my ship anytime. He goes, for some reason I head right to the rocks and I smash it. So I don't hold anything too tightly. I don't take anything too seriously. And I try to give it up to God, you know, and treat everybody with respect. And I think the world would be a little kinder, happier place if, you know, if people did that. So, so like you, I saw that, you know, what you were saying about encouraging people and just saying, you know, if people have, you know, questions. And that's why I say, anybody watching the show, if you have any questions and you want to reach out to me, hit my website, hit me up. And I respond to each email personally. You know, I can sometimes I take a little bit, but depending on, you know, busy. But that's what life is about. Like, somebody asked me about, like, with my kids and my wife, have just been awesome about my writing career. And I could put a thing up on my door saying I'm writing, and they know usually it's I'm always writing. And but if they need something, drop it. Drop everything I'm doing, and I go and write. You know, like I say, we're empty nesters. My wife's raising chickens now. She just has them as pets, basically. So today she wanted, because they had some foxes and stuff, she wanted the rooster. And I'm like, let's go take a drive. You know, and I had like this whole day planned out. And I'm like, you know what? Let's put it on the side, because she's the most important thing, you know? So the books aren't important. The marketing's not important. Let's take it out. And of course, I met this guy and I talked with him, and I'm like, oh, that's going in the book. Like, some of the things you say straight in the book.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. So my goodness, so since you're going on a bit of a media tour with all the stuff that you're doing through these magical podcasts, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
More often? That's an actual excellent question. I've never got asked that. I wish they would ask, how can they find the focus to commit through what they want to do, like their purpose? And I would say, don't limit yourself. Like, I've got a hat. It's so beat on now. It's a baseball cap. And it's that life is good hat. And it's not that the fact that it says life is good. That's what it first attracted me into the hat. But on the inside, it says, love what you do. And I'm like, that is so important. Like, before I became a writer, I used to go around and I used to ask people, do you love your job? And nobody said yes. Like, nobody. The only person I found was this park ranger. And he's like, oh, I love my job. I love waking up. And there's this line in the Monkees, and I quote it a lot. I'm a Believer band, you know, from the 60s that had a TV show. They said, do you remember when you, as a child, when you woke up and morning smiled, it's time to feel like that again. And you should wake up like a kid in Christmas. And writing does that for me. So I think if you find what you love to do, you should go for it. And you should pursue it. Now, I'm not saying drop everything. Be responsible. You know, don't burn off and be like, hey, you know, and it's kind of like what I had to do with the writing. Like, when I went into writing, like, I used to have a video company. And when I did the video company, I actually went bankrupt once. You know, like I said, I've been like, you know, abased and abound. And it was no fault of my own. I'm a cruddy businessman. and learn from, I'm like a financial idiot, but I learned that you don't do like I you're supposed to do a third, a third, a third, for when you get money for something. So I was doing this huge commercial because of my theater background and my video background, and it was this wonderful production, and I rented the set, and I rented, hired all the camera people and the lighting and the actors, and I had only taken a third. And then on the product, once I was done shooting and editing and putting in all that work in, the product came from China for the people, and they changed the color. So the people said, "You've got to reshoot everything." And I said, "I need more money." And they said, "Oh, we're not going to give you no money." And they weren't based in America. And a friend of mine had vouched for them. And then I called them and said, "Can you act like an intermediary?" And he goes, "Oh, they're ripping me off." And I'm like, "You don't understand the
What?
word vouched, do you?" Let me give you a little Italian lesson about what vouching really means. So I said to myself with the writing, I'm not going to go beyond my means. I'm not going to go into debt for this. I'm only going to take what money from the book comes in to fold it into the next book. And that's what I've done, where I'm like, I am not going into debt. And I think that, but you know what? It's still, it, like I said before, it's all doable. Like you can have people that end up wanting to help. Like there are so many people that are teachers that are great at editing. And I know some people go, "Oh no, you only need a certified." And I've met some real certified stinky editors. Okay. And you can have, but you know what? Maybe one doesn't work for you. And like I've never met anybody that catches everything, even close to it. Like I have a what I call a grammar police force. And they're awesome. They're people. But you know what I did? I had the people that call the people that wrote to me and said, "I found this mistake in your book." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe there's this mistake." And then instead of getting upset, I said, or like taking it personally, like it's an attack on me, I said, "Will you help me?" And they're like, "What?" And I said, "Will you help me? I'm trying to give the best product. And would you read the book?" And then they get to read it for free, and they're contributing. And I'm unbelievably grateful. So they joined the Christopher Grayson Police Force. Grammar Police Force. I put the book out, and then hopefully my finished product is so much better. And you can do it with the editing. You can do it with ways. You can do it with covers. Like there are some cover designers you can get on Fiverr that are absolutely fantastic. And it goes to show you that never go beyond your means. It's kind of like with special effects and movies. Like, I mean, even now, I'm mentioning She-Hulk, but there are some like some shows where they didn't have the money for the special effects, or the technology isn't there to pull them off, and you're still like, you should have gotten something else. So instead of having like a completely wacky cover, tone it down and get it. Just make sure it's professional and it does the job. So there's a lot of ways around it that that people can get and keep it affordable. And then as your business grows, and as things take off, it's more of a organic thing. It's more of a, you have to be a patient thing. But two, I quote country songs a lot. There's that song, Faith, Tim McGraw, "How Bad Do You Want It?" Are you waking up and it's the one thing on your mind? Like the Tom Brady thing. Are you
Oh,
pushing?
yeah.
Do you want it? Is, and that's why, I want it. I still wake up at 4:30. I'll hit publish on Amazon, and I'm back to typing on another book. How can I get it? I cut back on binging. I'd love to watch Netflix and YouTube all day, but I go, if I'm watching YouTube, I'm not writing. So I better get some writing in.
Oh yeah, that's right. That YouTube can be a black hole, especially now. It's
It can, it can, and even, but even on good stuff, like I did some woodworking videos and I found myself, or even I got somebody had 2 million views on a bird cam. you know, of this bird nesting. But it was fascinating, and I got sucked into it. And I'm like, oh, look, there's six little babies, and now they're all, you know. And so, but you have to have that discipline to go, okay, do I want to watch, you know, bird babies, or do I want to write, you know, and get my story out? So I think everybody has a story in them, and they can get it out.
Yes, sir, indeed. Yes, sir, indeed. Well, fun question for you. And I guess we'll go with the Jack and Jill, the Blue Light Killer, since that's the most recent book at the time of this recording. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
I think it would be like one of those Funfetti cakes, I think, because there's so much in it. It really has a lot. And sometimes the cake doesn't come out quite how you want it. With all the Jack books, I try getting a different flavor in there. Like, you'll have a regular traditional murder mystery, you'll have a kidnapping, you'll have a cold case. Because I think they're up to 11 now, you know, you'll have a serial killer. And on this one, I really wanted to have a, you know, touch on a little, on a bunch of different stuff. And again, it's all about people. So one hand, I wanted to get what the experience, like a lot of times some people don't understand what the police are going through. Like when they're pulling over a car, they don't know if they're pulling over a grandmother or a grandmother with a shotgun, you know.
Yep.
So, to get that perspective, and then but to also, and I this is something I find in a lot of my books, the ripple in the pond effect. Like when you hear a story about somebody being killed in the news, you a lot of times think, oh, I'm so sorry for the, you know, the person that was killed. But then what about, like in this one, and you'll see it, the person that's killed at the beginning is a guy who had spent some time in prison, who had made some mistakes, who's turning his life around, and he's killed. And he was about to get engaged. How does his fiance deal with it? What about, and then the fiance's father really bonded with the kid as a son, and how it affected him. And it really, I think, takes people on a ride. And I try to go at it from a number of different angles. Like, you'll hear a lot of things today, and it's funny. And usually I know I'm doing a good job if I get kind of gruff from both sides of the argument, you know, because so I have Jack and Jill, and I've had people accuse me of going, oh, you're jumping on the woman power thing. And I'm like, my mom was a single mother. Shut up. But trying to get people to, again, to walk in other people's shoes. Like I said, my wife is one of the brightest, smartest people I know. And she is like a research queen. And I remember when we were doing the RV thing, we went out to this phone store because she was researching the thing, and we walk in the store and I see some little techno thing and I'm like, ew, you know, and I go heading off in a different direction. And she goes over, and then I hear this sales guy, and he's talking to somebody like they're stupid, which got me mad just because I hear him talking down to somebody. Then I see it's my wife that he's talking to. And so, and like I said, we're men of faith, and I'm a Christian. And but like sometimes you go, the old man inside. Remember the old man inside? So sometimes he comes up, and I go over there. And I'm like, and it happens. So to try to, you know, and sometimes in my books is try to get you, you know, to realize that, you know, that, you know what? Are you a person that talks down to somebody like that? Don't do that. Don't be that guy. And sometimes, like with Jill, she's got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder because it's happened to her. So she was quick to try to jump on Jack and go, hey, don't be that gal. Let's let the guns down a little bit. But if you didn't have that tension, you know, it wouldn't have the, you know, the funny parts in it. And with all my books, I love going for humor. There's tragedy, there's thrills. So that's why I think it's that Funfetti cake. You get a little bit of everything in the bites. And the Jack series is, while they're standalones, you can read it, like, and I test it again I'll give the book to people that have never read any of my stuff to see if they can follow it and to try to, but I don't want to make it boring in the beginning. Like Jack is this person to give the whole backstory. It's kind of like, why do they tell Batman's backstory every movie? It's like, you know it. It's Batman. You don't have to do it, man. Just you can just go, it's Batman. Batman short. Everybody knows Batman. You know, don't do it. So I don't do that. But you can, it's a standalone book, but there are reoccurring characters, and the fans love that. Like, one of the fan favorites is the dog that showed up, you know, seven books in. I can never have anything happen to the lady. You know, if anything ever happened to Lady, I've gotten threats over, do not do anything to that dog. I'm like, okay.
Freaking have Peter come out of the woodwork. Be like, we loved you. How dare you kill an animal in a fiction novel? What's wrong with you?
No, you laugh. There are people that get... Like, I actually had to, for beta readers, I took the joke out, and some people said, you shouldn't have taken the joke out, but I actually had to remove a joke about a dog. And it wasn't even about killing a dog. This guy, who's a bad guy, and this is the funny thing, too. This guy's not a good guy. I mean, he wasn't, like, the bad guy in the book, but he's not a nice guy. He's kind of a jerk. And so he's a rich snob guy, and he goes, oh, you should get a dog. If you don't like it, just return it. And then his wife goes, you can't return a dog, you know? And he's like, oh, of course you can. Just bring it back. You have the receipt, you know? So it's a joke to show what a callous jerk the guy is. But so many people got so mad at me in beta reading. They're like, I can't believe you said to... Yeah, they go, I can't believe you said to return a dog. And I'm like, no, he's saying it. The bad guy. So... And it wasn't really, it was at a kind of slow part, and I needed to cut stuff out anyway. So I'm like, I might as well cut it because I'm getting too much gruff and I'm not getting enough reward for keeping it in. So I'll lose it. But yeah, okay. It's funny when people get a little bit sensitive. But I try to tackle a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, tough things that I tackle in my book, you know, such as, you know, people being abused and, you know, there's a lot of hard things in the world. And somebody asked me, you know, why do I go there? You know, if people, there is a chance that people are going to complain. Like I said, you know, Jack was raised by, you know, a Black foster family. And even that, you know, caused some consternation with people. And I said, you know what? I said, I remember once that I never talked about being an addict because when I did talk about being a drunk, people treated me like, looked down at me. And nobody likes that. And I didn't like that. And I'm like, who are you to look down at me? I'm not going to say anything to you about my past then, because I don't want you looking down your nose at me. And then I don't know what you can, sometimes I think God deals with me in a very Italian way, with like a flick in the back of the head. I was talking to this woman, and I really felt led to tell her. And I said, you know, we were talking, I said, I don't know why I'm sharing this with you, but, you know, I went through five drug rehabs and, you know, I grew in that, through that pain, I grew so much as a man, you know, as a person. And the woman burst into tears and she said, my son's an addict. Do you really think there's hope for him? And it just, oh my gosh, it killed me. And I'm like, yes. And so now I tell people, and I don't care about the people that try to use it as a club, you know, if they try to use it for, you know, a club or me, if I tell people about bankruptcy, I mean, I have people to do it. You financial mismanagement, you know? yes, I did, you know, but it's like the same thing about like talking about the kids know my life, warts and all. And I'll tell people, you know, the things I succeed in greatly and the things I fail in greatly. And that's why, like, somebody said, you know, about like pride, I go, not no pride. I'm like, did you watch the Avengers, the first one where the Hulk grabs Loki and like slams him? Blah, 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 blah. You know, I think that's what happened to me in life. You know, I'm not throwing any stones. I don't have any pride. You know, what you see is what you get, and you get an honest, you know, response. And then I'm not having to come up with any stories. Like, back when I was a kid, I was a fabulous liar because of the theater. Oh, I could weave a tale. And life is so much nicer when you don't have to worry about what you're saying or what you're doing, because you're not lying and you're just being honest, and you do it in a respectful way. And I think everybody can respect that. And that's, you know, as writers, I'm just telling the story, you know? And so sometimes when people get upset, I remember as an actor, a friend of mine, he was so psyched because he got a small part in the bit thing, you know, on local TV, and he played a drug dealer. And he got chased into a store by this old guy who called the cops on him because he saw him on TV as a drug dealer. And he's like, "I'm just an actor," you know. And they got. But anyway, I'm babbling on, so I don't know.
Hey, it's all good, man. It's all good indeed. Heck, actually, first one to mention one of their books being a fun fetty cake. That's right, indeed. It's good times, indeed. Especially love the metaphor, indeed, because there's so much in it. I'm kind of not surprised, really, considering what year it is now. Some people can be, but returning a dog, like, books really got mad about that. It's like, he didn't say kill the dog or nothing. All he said was just take it back. That's literally all he said. It's like, ain't that like the sales pitch for the dog kennels anywhere, the dog places, where it's like, hey, just take them home, see how you like them. And if you don't like them, bring them back. It's like, ain't that literally what they do anyway?
And you go figure. And that's why I say I answer every email. I don't answer any reviews. You know, you never answer. Because, like, you know, there are just, you know, the people out there. And sometimes the emails are scary. Like, I've had people, like, email me from prison. You know, or, you know, gotten things. And they're like, I've killed people and you're in my head. I'm like, I don't want to be in your head. I don't want to be anywhere near your head. You know? But it's amazing what you can do for research now. But I try to write responsibly. Like, I hate it when the news puts on a thing like, hey, if you want to do a terrorist attack, all you have to do is this. And if you want to, you know, and they lay it out like ABC. And I'm like, nope. And it, to me, it doesn't matter, because, like, even if you, people ask, you know, how can you commit the perfect murder? And I'm like, you can't, you know, because God's going to trip you up. You know, it's that, like, Johnny Cash song, God's going to cut you down, you know, and you won't get it. And another funny thing about research. So I moved to Tennessee from Boston, and that's why one of my books is about a detective from Boston to Tennessee. But I met a friend of mine. And again, because I'm not like, hey, do you know who I am, what I do? And I don't usually tell people I write, you know. So I had a friend of mine, and I'm asking him all these questions. And I knew he was an avid hunter. And so I'm writing that apocalyptic book. And I go, hey, if there was, like, if you came across a pool of blood, a big pool of blood in the road, can you automatically tell the difference between if it was deer blood and human blood? And he's like, Chris, can I ask you why you're asking me all these questions? Did I ever say I was a writer? He's like, no. Oh my gosh, you must think I'm a serial killer in the making. Because I was asking him all these weapon questions. All of these other questions. But again, with, like, the love of the journey, I love doing the thing of, like, they've got a citizens academy down here. I can't say enough about the sheriff's department, where you can go. It was a 9-week course where you go on ride alongs with the sheriff's department. You get to see what the SWAT team does. You get to go to the prisons. You get to do it. You know, everything. And it was just absolutely fabulous. And it puts things in a totally different perspective. We were an hour out in the county. We were so far out in the county on my first ride along. And we went down this road that looked straight out of The Walking Dead. And we get to this fence that it's all barbed wire, and written in, like, if you had an actual crazy font, you know, says danger, don't, you know, keep out. And I added all this stuff into Jack and Jill. And the call was, neighbor called and said the person in the house was having a mental situation, and they had a gun and they were going to kill them. And so then he's got to respond to it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go in. If you hear shots, drive away, back out. I go, I can't do that. I go, what happened? Like, go and try to help you. You know, but it puts the, and the guy was so nice and so polite, and he talked to the neighbor and they diffused the situation. And the next call was easily as funny because we go to the next call and it's approaching winter. And there was a cut up tree on the side of the road. And we go to this house with these two little old ladies. And they said, this woman, this guy came to the door and he knocked and we don't know him. So we said, we have guns and we're going to use them and we're calling 911. And they go, he ran that way. And, but his truck was that way. And he's the police officer said, now, when did that tree come down? And she goes, oh, the other day. She goes, well, it's getting under winter. Do you think maybe he wanted to just see if he could take the wood? And they're like, oh. So there's a bunch of material on there, out there for hunting down the questions.
I guess pun intended. Funny enough, when you said write responsibly, then maybe think about the commercial drink responsibly. So I guess that could be one of your tag laws in the future. Write responsibly.
Oh, a plug for your shop. I love your merchandise. On your shirts, you have so many neat sayings about the shirts, like pile on with the books jumping onto each other. And I can't even think of the other ones, but I'm going to be ordering some shirts. I still got the page up here. Today, a reader. Tomorrow, a leader. Is that all you? Yeah. Humble bow.
Oh, yeah.
Humble bow. You should. I absolutely no shelf control. I'll be ordering a shirt.
Oh, hey, I'm honored about that one, man. I appreciate that one, man. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Oh, shoot. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
Right, and don't listen. Don't listen to the faith quenchers. Don't listen to all those people, all the naysayers. I mean, there's so many people out there that'll try to, like, they're like human vampires. They're like dream suckers, and don't listen to them. It's like the advice I gave to my kids. I said, you know what? I can give you advice. I can talk to you. But if I ever say anything that goes against what God says, you listen to God. You know, you pay attention to what he tells you. And it's just so true. Everybody gives advice. Everyone does. And my mom always said, most of them wouldn't even follow that advice that they're giving you. So follow your dreams. Go for it. Elvis said it. You got to follow your dreams wherever that dream, you know. It's true. You need to follow your dreams. And really don't, like, I felt so bad. I went to a men's Bible study, and the pastor said, well, no one would just pick a job because it makes the most money. I'm like, that's exactly what I did. And you know what? It was just dense. So much of my life, because I switched over to writing only, you know, like, what is it, 11, 12 years ago? And I know I'm like 32, but, you know, late in life. But it's never too late. You know, it's never too late. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Caleb. When they went to the promised land, he was one of the spies, the only two guys. And he said, we can go in there and we can take the land. And everybody goes, no, we can't take it. They're giants. And they didn't do it. And then 40 years later, after everybody else is dead, the guy goes, I'm 80. I'm going in there. And you know what? The high country, that's where the best stuff is. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to take the high country. And I say, take the hill. Like I always said to my brothers, if I grew up, if I all of a sudden found myself in a land and it was like, oh geez, this is dragon on that hill, garden, a hoard of treasure, I wouldn't even be like, give me a sword. I'll be like, I'll get a sword on the way. I'll take that dragon on the rock, you know. But life is like that. There are dragons out there, there are challenges. You know what? Rise up to fight them. That's what I would say to my 25-year-old self. Don't conform and transform. You're inspiring me. I'm like, all of a sudden I'm doing these rhyming things. I'm like, you know, transform and really, you know, take the high country and go for it. Excellent questions. Really, I haven't been asked any of these.
Oh, sweet. All right, cool. It's always good to get folks to do stuff. That's right indeed. My man, Chris, Mr. CG himself dropped the gems, baby. Don't conform, transform. That's right indeed.
I'm way better than when you say it. I'll just play that. Okay. Along with your intro when I walk into the room. All right, here it is.
There you go. And then it breaks out to some dance music for no reason afterwards. And a disco ball comes from the ceiling magically for no reason at all. Oh, man. That's so good. It's so good indeed, man. Yeah. Like, my goodness. Like, my man brought the heat today, baby. That's right indeed. I have to do the whole James Brown thing, throw the robe over you. My man brought the heat today, y'all.
I feel good. Shot in my head.
Freaking great. That's what I'm talking about. This talking about the well, folks have been enjoying this amazing man today, indeed. And they need to cop a bunch of copies of his magical books and keep up with his journey. So, for those need to do just that, my man, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Go to ChristopherGrayson.com. It's got links to my shop. It's got links to, you know, sign up for my email. I got a shop on Amazon where you can purchase all the books. I try to get them all in large print too. So if you'd like that, got some great audio versions and lots of new stuff coming out. So stay in the know.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. Stay in the know, indeed. You definitely want to stay in the know, indeed. Because hey, it's been 11 years, but my man's still just getting started, y'all. You heard him earlier, man. That's right, indeed. What was it, six screenplays in the works, and one of them still could possibly be freaking sold somewhere, especially possibly Netflix or who knows what else. Maybe even Amazon Prime. Who knows? So, hey, stay connected with Mr. CG himself. He's got you cover like a blanket for all your needs. That's right indeed. You'll be in for a thrilling ride. You'll feel like you're riding Space Mountain three times at once. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
Thank you so much for having me, and I really needed the laugh. Now I got the whole covered like a blanket. That was just great. So if you ever need anything, look me up. Like I said, I'm Italian, so I owe you. That was just great.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.